but how awesome is it to enter a room to a theme song?
Like, it that, was a lot
you
of
should
fun.
Always do that in life.
Yes.
And
yeah.
How few opportunities do we get to, like, open those doors and be like, it's me, bitches.
Yeah. I sort of sometimes let my imagination, you know, run away. And so that was sort of one of those, like,
Yeah, like, you're the reason for the party. Yeah. It's us. We are the reason. Stand up, you pedestrians.
Yeah.
Like, we have arrived.
Yeah.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and I am just here for the intro, peeps. Christy interviewed a lovely real couple, Blake and Ashley, and talked all about their wedding day and how wonderful it was that they were happy and joyful and just embracing it and taking it all in. So you're going to learn some awesome tips from Blake and Ashley. But before we go into the interview, a few things. First of all, we want to thank our sponsor, Manly Bands. Manly Bands offers unique wedding bands at an affordable price. All pretty much less than $200. They stand out from the crowd. You can choose a ring that matches your personality, your unique style. There's so many designs to choose from, and they are really good looking wedding bands. They offer an array of sizes, little bitty fingers to really big fingers. Order yourself one, two, perhaps three Manly Bands. I mean, accessorize. Why not have a few? At this price, you could afford it. They go above and beyond in customer service. They have a no-hassle one-year warranty. And the customer service is awesome, and customers love them. If you look on their website, there's testimonials. There's like over 600 five-star reviews. It's a really great company. We love them. If you find something you love on Manly Bands, I know you will, at checkout, put the code TBWPP for a 15% discount, which is awesome because they're already really, really well priced. So check that out, manlybands.com, promo code TBWPP. Another exciting announcement. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast has a phone number. So you could call us on a cell phone. No, it's not. It's actually not a cell phone. It's a Google Voice number. But the reason we got this number is because we would really love to hear from you. If you have any nice things to say, I mean, if you have some things, criticism also, give us a call. You'll get our voicemail. We will listen, and we will choose some of your messages to put on our show. We want to hear your voice. So call us at 415-723-1625. Again, 415-723-1625. Now, as always, we love to get your emails. We've been getting a lot lately from you talking about all sorts of things, all sorts of experiences during your planning process and asking us questions. We love to be able to help you. So please send us an email. We read every single one and we respond to every single one. It might take us a couple days because we're getting quite a few, but we want to hear from you. So please let us know what's going on with your planning. Let us know if you're having any challenges. Let us know if you have any unique stories. And let us know if we can help you. Our email address is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Oh, and we're on Instagram. Follow us. We're working hard on Instagram. We're trying. Follow us at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at TBWP Podcast. And yeah, so thank you, Blake and Ashley, for taking the time to sit down with Christy in your kitchen and talk to our listeners and let them benefit from your knowledge on how to have a happy, joyous wedding day. Thank you.
My name is Christy Matthews, and I'm recording without Michelle today. I have two very special guests with me. I'm actually in their kitchen recording today. A recently married couple, very recently, 1 month ago. I was their wedding planner, so thank you for being on the podcast, Blake and Ashley Phipps.
You are very welcome.
Yeah.
How's that for a new last name?
She technically hasn't changed her name yet. She's Ashley Phipps in my phone.
It took me 3 years. It's a process. It's unfair. She has to go through a lot of paperwork.
Well, and I'm turning 30 in June, so I have to get a new license anyway.
Sure.
So I was like, why do
She's
it
like,
now?
My passport.
We're going to change all our bank accounts and all that stuff, so might as well just knock it all out in one foul swoop. So
Yeah.
Your social security card. That's the main thing.
Yeah, and then, you know, the government went on strike or they were shut down for a little while.
That may happen again, so. It seems. Did you change it on the license? On the marriage certificate?
Well, it has our legal name.
Right. It's right over there. I don't know.
Yeah. The Texas one is really different than the California one. This looks like an old-timey like a document. And the first time I saw one, I literally said to the officiant, okay, but can we also have the real one? And he was like, this is the real one. And I was like, what? Because in California, it's like very post office, form. And at the bottom, you could put that you're planning on like your new name, but it's not, it's there, but then you still have to go through everything else.
Yeah, that's not an option.
Yeah, so for now, you've legally done nothing.
Okay. except
married.
And his phone, except, I am Ashley Phipps.
And that counts. It's your phone when she calls you.
Yeah. She's not even Ashley Phipps on Facebook yet. She's still just Ashley Paul.
Yeah. So but he was very excited when I first
ashamed.
Called.
She's ashamed of me.
Not of you. it's just different. I'm Ashley Paul, so P-A- to PH is really difficult.
You get to keep your initials.
Yeah, that's what everyone's like. Your monogram doesn't change.
Yeah, your monogram, very important. Okay, so I have talked about Ashley and Blake's wedding on the podcast before, and we have had couples that have been married recently before on our podcast too, some that we've worked with in some capacity, but we need to have an angle. Otherwise, I could just interview every couple I've ever worked with. So when I reached out to you guys, the angle was, and what I wanted to talk to you about specifically is how you kept your smiles on your faces on the wedding day, and you're just both seemed to be so happy and joyful and relaxed.
There was a steady infusion of alcohol throughout the day.
I think if that's the secret, then we can just wrap up right now. So let's give some background. That's kind of the point of today's podcast. Is this is a couple that I worked with closely, and I never saw either one of you like pissed or worried or stressed or angsty or even short. Like, you never even like snapped at a bridesmaid. And I'm telling you, these are normal things in an 11-hour day to spend together. So that's why I want to talk to you. Like, how did you do that? What plans did you put into place? But for a little background, your wedding was at the Adolphus Hotel in Dallas, which I have talked about that in the haunted 19th floor, which Trish told me about.
Yeah, and I think I had sent her a little blurb about it because we were trying to figure out where to take pictures before. And I knew that they had recently renovated it, and now it's like the only like whitewashed room at the Adolphus.
Yeah.
And I knew that's something that she would like because we were looking for more, you know, natural lighting, someplace
bright. Since you couldn't be outside.
Right, and, you know, it was questionable what the weather would have been like.
Right.
So I was like, well, we could go to the 19th floor. So I was trying to send her pictures, but a lot of the pictures were of them still kind of redoing it and then what it used to look like. And I was like, I promise it looks better now. And then she went up and looked at it and liked it.
So that's the top floor at the, or is it the
it's
top?
It's not the not top floor, no.
But a big ballroom.
Is, it's a medium-sized ballroom. I think it's actually smaller than the one we were in, but it has the big windows that you see on the outside with the arches and the gargoyles. Those are the windows that are on the 19th floor.
Okay.
We didn't see any ghosts the day of. But
Did you feel anything?
Well, I was hoping that there was going to be some ghost like developed in like when the pictures came out. You'd see something in the pictures, and I don't think
I was going to ask her. I was like, so did you have to like Photoshop some like orbs out, but
so Trish was on the podcast. That's their photographer, Trish Dove, and she was on episode 64, and we talked about the 19th floor a little bit. But so that's the wedding. It's the one if you've been listening for a while. I talked about the champagne scroll escort cards that we did, and I have a picture of it on our website. And then I also talked about probably at the most length. A crazy lady that was in the ballroom next door wedding. It was actually from my nightmares. Yeah. If you have ever waited tables, you have, like, if you wait tables enough, maybe in every job, you have the nightmare of too many tables and or what the stress nightmare. So as a wedding planner, this lady was my stress nightmare.
And the funny thing is, when I was thinking back on it, I was like, well, if someone would have come and talked to me about it, I would have been totally cool with having my guest, because there was a back entrance for us that our guests could have used. And so I would have been happily, like, kind of rearranged things, but
she was not going to be satisfied with that. Right. The one thing you guys did get moved around. So the background is I'm setting up for Ashley and Blake's wedding in the lobby-ish area, the foyer of their ballroom. And behind a curtain, a thin curtain that separates the foyer into two, it's, I think it was the mother of the bride. Anyway, mother of somebody, mother or something over there. And she was very unhappy that there was another wedding on the same floor as her daughter's wedding. And she was reaming this event catering manager who had nothing to do with the problem. And she was very, very mad. And so that's what I talked about on the podcast, was like, oh my God, thank God that wasn't my couple, wasn't my mom, wasn't my problem. Yeah. Let's talk about what you set out to do a year ago.
Yeah.
I would say that you guys had a pretty traditional idea in mind, mm-hmm. church ceremony. Mm-hmm. Ballroom reception.
Yeah.
Parents were contributing to the whole thing. You mm-hmm. were contributing as well. Mm-hmm. Ashley seemed to be attending more meetings, but Blake was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe, I would say, more involved than most of the grooms I work with. Just by some emails I would get were just from you, and Ashley wasn't even CC'd. And I would be like, look at Blake taking the lead on so-and-so.
I got this.
Yeah. So how did you guys... Like a year ago when you were first talking about it, like, did you have a budget in mind? I mean, what was the overall idea?
Budgets were there, which had to be amended several times. I think that was the big thing as far as figuring out what venue we were choosing, and then kind of going there. And we knew that we wanted a videographer and a photographer and this and that, mostly Ashley's decisions. My decision was that it has to be at a Catholic church, just because I come from a pretty traditional Catholic family. So that was sort of non-negotiable.
Was it your church or your parents?
Technically, yes. we're parishioners there, and we have good family friends who go there and might have pulled some strings to get us the parishioner price to book the venue.
Yeah, it's not like a sponsor, but it kind of
a little bit. So that was really my only, like, it has to be this way kind of thing. But I don't know. I guess we have similar tastes, and obviously Ashley has more opinions on a lot of things than I do. So it made her happy. I was happy. So,
yeah. So I was looking for some historical place to have our wedding, and I really actually wanted it to be at Fair Park at the Hall Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you walk in there, it's beautiful. just, you know, it's got history.
Yeah.
And so my mom was always kind of concerned that, oh, maybe we should do it at a hotel because you're going to have a lot of out-of-town guests. But I really didn't want to. But then she convinced us to go look at the Adolphus and just, like, how grand the Adolphus was.
It does have a lot of history.
Yeah, and it has a lot of history, being one of the oldest buildings in downtown, and they physically moving, I think, City Hall to allow the Adolphus Hotel there. And just kind of the regalness of the Adolphus is why we chose that.
That was after we had also looked at, was it the Fairmont?
The Fairmont.
And just after, with the price and everything that the Adolphus was kind of putting in, because it was also a little bit of a sight unseen thing. The Adolphus has been undergoing construction for like the last year. So I think they were willing to kind of throw a little bit more into the pot since we were willing to book with them.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, things potentially and end up didn't really be completely finished by the time the wedding happened.
And that is something that can be a negotiating tool for people planning their wedding. Even if it's something small, like, well, we're redoing the electrical in the ballroom. I've had that at really nice hotels before. And then it turns out that the beautiful chandelier, like, doesn't actually dim, or something that's kind of a big deal on the wedding day, but you sort of signed up for that when they were forthcoming about it, and you signed it anyway, so you might get something in return for that.
Yes. So after we booked the Adolphus, we were always interested in hiring a planner, just so there wasn't stress on my mom and I at the wedding, and everyone that we knew who recently went through the wedding planning process was like, at least a day of is what you really need, because then you don't have to worry about everything.
Right. And your mom was specifically saying, like, I want to be drinking.
Yes.
And I do not want to be picking up at the end of the night.
Right. And so before we had settled on the Adolphus, that's when we met you at the
Bilo.
Yeah.
Which is a venue that had like an open house thing I was a part of.
Yeah. And we liked you because you actually came up and approached us, and everyone else was very standoffish.
Those events are so hard. They're so hard. You stand at a table with a smile and try to get like people walking by to talk to you enough to even take your card, and then cross your fingers that any of the 40 people you talk to will actually call you.
Yeah.
It's like, I always leave those events like sad. Just like, well, that was another
that was
4 hours and a tight skirt that I was wearing for that long.
But yeah, well, it worked.
I do remember connecting with you guys when you and your mom, when you did email.
Yeah.
I was like, I know exactly who this is.
Yeah, so we were excited. You know, we're like, oh yeah, she said she would give us a discount because, you know, she knew about how Catholic weddings worked and that they also have their own planner within the church. So we're like, well, maybe this could be more affordable for us. So we called you, we called a couple of other people, and we're like, but we liked Christy the best. You know, you were trying to get Blake involved, even though, you know, Blake's...
And that was on the phone, like phone calls. I don't know if I was trying to get you involved, more of just like acknowledging that you were there.
Well, it was funny because the first time I actually saw you face to face was on our wedding day.
I know, and I missed that. You said that, and I was like, oh yeah, weird, because I had seen so many pictures of you, and we talked on the phone and emailed, and I knew, you know, what your parents' names are, and you kind of know, like,
a lot about
somebody. So then when we finally met in person, it felt like I had known you for a long time. But
yeah, and it was weird for me too, because it's like, are you sure? I mean, I've
that
seen
can't
her,
be.
Like,
yeah.
I was
like,
at the
no.
Bilo when you guys met, but I was off, I don't know, wandering around,
eating,
doing my own
thing.
There
was so much food there.
Yeah. So we liked you the best, and
did,
so we
let
had
me
a,
ask, did you meet other people in person?
No, we just did phone calls.
Because I do talk to people about how, like,
well, no, actually, I take that back. We did meet one other person face-to-face. And
that click kind of, it's like a first date. Like, it matters, you know? You know, like, this is not going to work if there's not something going kind of right away.
Right.
But sometimes you have to be face-to-face to feel that.
I think we talked to 3 coordinators. One of them, she was just so kind of bubbly and on the phone that I was just kind of like, that's kind of a turn off. Like,
I want like a ball busting,
yeah,
like sarcastic.
I mean, we could be easygoing, but that was just too bubbly for
me. I guess if it felt like she was like silly or not serious, it's like we're still paying you.
Yeah, and I guess she also to be a professional. It also just came off a little awkward, and maybe and then she was pushing for a face to face interview, so I think that she does better probably in person. Yeah. But
well, her loss.
Yeah.
So you hired me for month of. But from the very beginning, we knew we were going to add on to that package.
Yes.
So it felt a little bit more like what a partial planning package would be for any of you considering this. And it's that we met several times specifically about like design, which is an umbrella that covers a lot of the other vendors that Ashley was going to need to hire. Florist and lighting and rentals mainly for the design of an event. And so when we met to do that, that was added on to the month of. And I gave Ashley and her mom and Blake referrals for a whole grip of vendors.
Yes.
And you ended up pretty much hiring everyone that I said, this is who I would hire if I were you.
Yes. So, like, we, you know, pretty much called the people on your list, got quotes, and then decided, you know, who we wanted to go with. The one thing that we asked you just for suggestions was the photographer, because I was thinking of using someone I knew and grew up with, but I wasn't fully confident in her experience. So you gave us a list of names and contacted them, and we met with Trish and instantly really connected with Trish.
It helped that her husband was a KU fan.
I know. She really got lucky on that mention, because that's a pretty specific connection you guys had.
So I was sold. But
yeah, and so when I started following her on Instagram, I was like, oh, your husband's a KU fan. And then they became partners in their business.
Yeah. You liked her work and the style of the pictures you were seeing, but it was her
I liked that first
personality that
her style of her photography first to make the contact, and then her personality and her packages that she offered really sold it.
Yeah, it's hard not to like Trish.
Yeah. So that was on the list of good decisions you made, 100%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So another thing that we did with Trish is we did our engagement shoot with her in June. So that also made us more comfortable working with Trish, because, you know, we've done it before.
Yeah. And she gets to know you and your personalities.
Yeah.
I think an engagement package, or that part of a photography package, is sometimes what people use to bring a photographer down in price a little bit. Like, well, we don't need those, so you can take, I don't know, $300 off or whatever. But I feel like that's a mistake, because it is like a practice session kind of.
Right.
Get to know you.
Right. So I would suggest that. And then a lot of people, which I find odd, maybe that's just because I'm from Texas, is that they don't do the bridal shoots. And I thought
I didn't even know there was a thing.
Yeah, it was something big for me.
Of stuff about weddings in Texas. I mean, because I'm from Kansas and didn't know that people did that for weddings.
Like,
and
he didn't know about the groom's cake either.
I'd say groom's cake and bridals are the two big like Southern things. But in Texas, the bridals are so huge.
Yeah, so, and that for me was also comforting. Not only because I there's another chance to work with Trish, but it's how my hair, my dress, everything came together and made me more confident in my dress.
A true trial run.
Yes.
So you're putting together your team. You're feeling good about like hiring. We hired a planner. We can afford this. We're working on the flowers. So imagining like this is all leading to what we want our wedding day to be like. So what were your priorities for how your wedding day like felt? And
you know, I guess starting from, you know, my point of view is, you know, the weddings I've been to, and this is probably just me being a not very necessarily attention to detail guy or kind of laid back in general, but I feel like when I leave a wedding, I remember the food, the booze, the music, and the people. And so I've sort of approached it as like, as long as we have those things, and yeah, you want to make it as nice as you can be, but those are the things that I feel like people really remembered. And everything else, even if some things fell through at the end of the day, was probably still going to be a fun day if you had those things taken care of. So that sort of helped me kind of not sweat the small stuff as much, because I don't know if anybody's necessarily going to remember our table runners or the glasses that we had, even though that they were lovely. I don't know if people are going to be like, oh, I love that wedding. They had the best table runners.
Right.
Oh, no, they're going to be like, I boozed my face off and I hit the dance floor hard and I had a good time.
And we should say you had a DJ. So yes. Dancing and just the party atmosphere, you had something to do with the songs that were playing. Mm-hmm. You guys had done like their portal thing and listed out what you wanted. But I thought he was a great DJ.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Cameron was great.
So the funny thing is, so we booked him about a year in advance as well. And he was one of the cheaper DJs on the list.
We got in at the right time.
Yeah. And then so... because I actually work with a mom of someone who works for the DJ company. So I would always ask her to text her daughter, so can you tell me about these people?
Yeah, yeah, between these two.
Yeah, and so I was like, you know, we're really trying to stay in budget here. So the cheaper we can get it, the better. And so she's like, yeah, if you get him right at the low price now, he's already going to have another year's worth of experience.
Yes.
And so... yeah, I think you looked that he had...
booking price went up like $600 or $700 when we booked him.
That makes a lot of sense since you did book so early. Yeah. And it's akin to like buying... They say you should buy the smallest house in the most expensive neighborhood. Like that's in, you know, in terms of real estate. And something like this company we're talking about is called LaForce. And they are a big DJ AV company out here. And they have 40 DJs on staff. Some of them are really expensive. And some, like Cameron, when they're first starting out, have lower contract prices. But you know they have a company behind them.
Right.
They have protocol and like formats and a portal that you can sign on to. He has LaForce behind mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit of an insurance policy. If you're thinking about hiring a DJ, even if they're less experienced or they're lower on the totem pole, if they're with a big company, then it's like they're not going to ghost you. You know he's going to, I mean, he has somebody else to answer to. He's right. not just a guy with his own equipment. So,
and he's going to be trained by the other top right. dogs of the company.
And so. If something, you know, were to have gone wrong, you would have,
you know, I did think about what if he left?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, well, I mean, they have a bunch of other DJs.
He has a company to answer to, and they would fill the spot. You mean by hiring him so early?
Right. Yeah.
So booze, music, food, people.
Yeah.
You put all that into place. You're kind of like, you had the big things done on the early side.
Yeah. All the big, we had the venue, photographer, the church.
Flowers.
DJ, florist.
DJ. And then, yeah, we got the florist, I think, in April. And I chose Lizzie B's because she also, when I told her my colors and scheme, she goes, this was my wedding. So I kind of went with her because she also kind of knew what I was going for. And personally, that was also, you know, her wedding.
Right.
So I was like, I feel confident in hiring her.
And with knowing, and this is another reason to hire a planner, some people ask me, like, if I pay a planner, how are you going to save me money? And that is, sometimes it's not tangible. It's like, I'm saving you money because it's time is money and like peace of mind is money and you're going to be less stressed out. But an actual way is by connecting you with vendors that I have worked with before and that I like and they like me, then she might be more willing to be like, well, we'll throw this in. We won't charge you for this or whatever.
Sometimes you get discounts.
Because of the referral, the way she got the business. And I would do the same thing. If Trish sends me a client, I will discount my price to work with them because I like working with Trish and that makes my life easier and everybody scratches each other's back and it's a big, you know, love fest. But you guys hired the right people. But a big reason why I think your wedding was so successful or successful in what we're talking about today, which is that you were happy on your wedding day, was that you really trusted the people you did hire. So there was no like panic 2 days before your wedding. You weren't like, I need to double check everything Lizzie is doing.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, I guess I also trusted them because you trusted them and it was your, you know, you referred them for a reason because, you know, you've worked with them before. So I guess I trusted in that, or I just didn't think that things would go wrong.
Yeah.
Well, and I sort of feel like, you know, you always kind of go back to those big four things. And, you know, those are the things that I feel like if something was gone wrong, we might have stressed about. But since you know kind of what's important and what you value in a wedding, you sort of are okay to just let go and let the people you've hired manage the small things because, you know, on that day, it doesn't really bother you to have control over every little aspect. You know, you might want to have some say of, oh, let's change something about the booze, the food, the music, and the people, but everything else, just let go. That's why you hired somebody.
So that I didn't even have to come to you about issues if there had been any, except if it had been like, there's no booze.
Which would have been a problem.
So if let's just on the planning process, was there anything through that year that you would do, like in terms of working together or like when you were anxious, did you guys talk about it? Did you talk each other off a ledge at any point? What would you give advice or do
initially,
differently?
Initially, there was some issue with who would be paying for what. And I think you kind of have to have a conversation about what traditional or what each of you is expecting from your parents, his parents. I mean, because
Do you think with actual dollar amounts?
Yeah, well, dollar, but just in just a general like who's paying for what? Yeah.
Right, because his parents' expectations were always kind of different, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but we never sat down and had a conversation of actually who is going to be responsible for what or what they think they should be responsible
for. If you could do it over, would you like have an actual like, let's all have dinner together and the six of us in your case?
I don't know. I mean, I knew what my parents thought was appropriate to pay for. My parents have always been so generous of their time and their money with me that I don't know if I would have felt comfortable being like, I know you want to give this, but how about you also give this?
Right.
Because at this point, you know, any amount of money that they wanted to give me, I felt like was a gift and I didn't necessarily feel comfortable asking for more, which kind of put a little bit of strain because I know that maybe Ashley's family might have enjoyed a little bit more help, but I guess at the end of the day, it caused a little bit of some awkward moments, but I just didn't feel comfortable asking my parents to chip in more.
Well, did you feel
like
you could cover it if?
Yeah, okay. I felt like if there was really
I'd rather
and then ask my parents to chip in more than they already have, because obviously they helped put me through college and they've paid for this and that and
med school.
Not med school, but. But you know, my car, they bought me after I graduated from college and got into med school and they paid for some medical stuff and this and that. So, you know, it didn't sit well with me asking for them to chip in more than they already have, at least just in my life in general. So,
well, it's not like I would have rather just sat down and had a conversation of, okay, what are your thoughts of who's going to pay for what? And then, like, my parents, what are their thoughts of who should pay for what? Because nowadays, it's pretty much you make it up who pays for what.
It's much less traditional.
Right. And so Blake's older sister had gotten married years ago. And so, you know, they've already been through this.
Right.
And this is my family's, like, first wedding, big wedding to plan. So, you know, we kind of have no idea who's supposed to pay for what. And so when we talk to Blake's parents, they're like, oh, well, we'll pay what, you know, Sam's parents paid groom.
Right.
So it's kind of like they already knew kind of what they were going to pay for. And I was like, but we didn't have a conversation about it.
Or we don't know what that was exactly.
Right. And I was like, well, what did Sam's parents pay for, because I wasn't there. I wasn't in the picture.
Parents kind of operate in my experience, in two ways. It's either like, I'm going to give you $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever, and you do whatever you want with it, but that's it. Don't ask me for any more. Mm-hmm. That's what you're getting. Or they say something like, as the groom's parents, and this is more traditional, we'll pay for the rehearsal dinner and we'll kind of host it.
Like, and that's sort of what they ended up doing.
Right.
And so, I felt like if if money was truly an issue, then I would rather scale back on the side of the wedding than expect more out of my parents. You know, like if Ashley's parents couldn't necessarily pay for or cover, you know, the initial wedding that we were hoping for, you know, I was fine with scaling back if we needed to, rather than saying, hey, Mom, Dad, you need to give us more money.
Did you guys have to scale back at all in the planning?
In the end, no, probably not.
Maybe they were scaling up.
Yeah, because, well, my parents had their own expectations as well. And so we were in charge of paying for the church and our entertainment and the videographer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they were going to pay for the Adolphus and, you know, kind of what else there is to pay for. And so,
and then
with the alcohol.
Yes, there's divorce.
Biological father.
Yeah, my dad. He gave his amount. But, you know, kind of with the alcohol setup, you know.
Right. Things add up and they just happen to be on their categories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were okay with it. I mean.
Right. That's another thing that happens. Nobody stays on their budget completely by the end of a wedding, really. Because there's just something in those last months where they're like, but I want it.
Right.
Well, then it costs more. But I want it. Okay, fine. We'll just do it. Yeah. And we've already spent, I think the theory is like, we've already spent so much money.
What's another
whatever? Yeah. And especially if that's another vendor that specifically helps to alleviate, you know, what's a day of planner? It, you know, I was more than that. But even if you had just found somebody just for the day of, mm-hmm. just manage the day of, like, what's another $900 for when you've already spent all this other money to do that job? So I think that the snowball is... That just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So was there anything with like, this is how I want my day to go? Was there any expectation you had that did not happen? Now if we're talking about the actual day.
But there was a K-State game. KU was playing K-State in a basketball game earlier that day. And I remember when me and all my old, you know, high school and college friends were planning the morning out. We were all like, let's all go to the KU alumni bar in Dallas. And I know that Ashley and her mom were not huge fans of that. Her mom, just because, like, what happens if you get to the bar and you can't get back to the hotel
or something happens?
You're
not where we are.
Yeah. But Ashley was mostly like, I'm going to be sitting in a hair getting my or get in a chair with my hair getting done all day. If I don't get to have fun, then you don't get to have fun.
Yeah. A lot of times the guys like golf beforehand, or they do, go to if there's an event, a sports.
So unfair.
So on the wedding day, and this is why we're doing this podcast at all. I check in with both of the bride and groom on any typical wedding day, kind of like every hour or so during setup time. And then, you know, in your case, you went off to do the ceremony and I did not go with you because that was part of our contract. So I'm staying at the hotel and making sure everything's ready for the reception. And then when you get back, there's a couple little things we have to, you know, I have to remind you about. But it's basically like I'm moving things along behind the scenes. That's the idea. But I see enough of my couples during the day to know like what the tone is. Like if there's any, like she seems like I did a wedding last night. And the second I got there, I was like, hi, you look beat. Like before I could even get my usual thing out, you look so. She was like, the flowers are wrong. And she was trying to be like, because the florist was like in the room. She's like, they're totally wrong. They're not what I wanted. What are we going to do? And it's like, what is there to do? The flowers are on the tables.
Yeah.
And I was actually doing her wedding as a favor. So I had nothing to do with her decisions beforehand. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, That's a hell of a way to start the day off. Like, you're not even in makeup yet, and you're pissed about something. So already I have an uphill, like, I got to get the bride to be in a good mood and be enjoying herself, because that's the whole point of a wedding day. You spend all this money and all this time, and then if you're mad about something or mad at someone or sad or bummed or focused on something minute, then it takes you out of actually experiencing mm-hmm. it. So
yeah.
I was struck by, and this is totally genuine, the several times I saw you both, you were chill, you were happy, you were pleasant, you were positive, you were polite to me. There was no part of you that was like anxious or seemed upset about anything. And that includes me going to your room, Blake, and none of your groomsmen
not
had
having
pants.
Any tuxedos. No, I knew it was going to fly by, and so I kind of wanted to soak in every moment and take it for what it was, and I didn't want to waste those moments stressing about things. And
you were surrounded by your best friends.
Yeah, and I tried to keep in mind the ultimate point of the day is that I'm marrying, you know, the person I love. The point of the day is not what kind of flowers I have or, you know, what even tuxedos or what we're wearing. Because, you know, and so if you keep that in mind, that this day really at the end of the day is just about getting married to the person you love. And in 10 years, 15 years, whatever, who gives a shit if the flowers weren't right, you know? And maybe that's just me being kind of a whatever kind of guy.
Yeah, that's...
But, you know, really, it's, you know, and obviously this is probably the Catholic part of me coming out. You know, it's a religious ceremony.
And so I
and that was the important part for me. And so,
every moment,
you know, at the end of the day, even with the tuxedos and not having our suits until, what, 3:30
before
pictures? Yeah.
And those suits were being driven from a rental place in Dallas to the hotel because they weren't in on time.
You know, the person I love. They were saying,
it's UPS. It just hasn't been delivered yet. And it'll be delivered by 2 or something. And we were like,
So it is the first time
I've gone up to a room to like pin boot mirrors and introduce myself really to all the guys and everyone, not everyone, half of them were still in some disarray.
Halfway street clothes, halfway tuxedoed.
But you weren't, even in presenting it to me, you were like, yep, we've been calling Al's. I mean, you sent me a text that morning. This is happening.
I was sort of just like, what do we do if we don't have tuxedos? Like, I don't know even what... That wasn't even a consideration of mine. I was stressed about that. But, you know, it ended up
You didn't,
up
like, take it out on anyone, I guess. Maybe that's just your personality.
I left a less than favorable Yelp review a couple of days later.
in retrospect, whatever you guys did on that day to either in your own head or somebody saying it to you just to be like, hey, it's actually going to be fine. I'm marrying the woman I love. Like, I have to say that to people. It's going to be fine. Think about the big picture. Don't worry about the little stuff. Who cares?
Right.
You're marrying the person you love. I have to give those pep talks. It's very J-Lo from, you know, from The Wedding Planner. What does she say? Like, you're a vision or...
I don't know if I've seen that particular film.
Yeah. It's been so long.
Well, that's the stereotype I'm up against, you know? But I do have to tell people that. So even though you were stressed, of course, you had 2 groomsmen with no pants on. You didn't... Like, your attitude, you know how people's attitude can change a room.
Right.
My husband says that sometimes when I'm pissed, the whole family feels it, even if I don't intend for that to happen. He's like, you have the kind of personality that can bring the energy up
or down.
And I have had to take that criticism and be like, okay, I'm working on that because I notice it with other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it in you that you both can kind of temper your down? Or was it wedding day specific?
No, that's Blake. Blake is very chill, laid back kind of guy. If I'm upset and mad, I will express that.
Okay, so meanwhile, he's dealing with pants stuff. You're getting ready with your girls.
Yeah, so I guess my kind of, wedding day preparation started the week before. I was texting all my friends who've been married before asking, can you get what are your tips?
Yeah. Oh, good idea.
Give me your advice
for the day of.
Yeah, and for just the week before, like, what were y'all doing? What should I do? And
what helped?
Yeah.
What you wish you had done. That's very good. Now you can share your wisdom with everyone.
Yeah, so everyone pretty much said the same thing, you know, just enjoy it, soak up, you know, every little bit of it because it goes fast.
Yeah,
and then that's your one day. So I was, you know, just trying to be mindful of that and just trying to kind of soak everything up.
I love that. We talked about that so many times on the podcast, like be in the moment, but I don't assume that anybody is actually like able to do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's just one of those things on the day, you know, you just, this is it, you know, just try to enjoy it. And so, I mean, we ended up starting to party that Thursday, well, let me back up. So I worked Monday and Tuesday. I was off for the wedding Wednesday on. And that Tuesday, I was getting bad text messages from one of my family members. And
what did I tell you?
Really, that was really upsetting me. And So I was like, to all my coworkers, I can't believe this is going on and so-and-so saying all these things and it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, like, why bring it to my attention now?
Right.
I'm getting married in a couple days.
Yeah, and so I was kind of put off by that, but, you know, was able to let it go. Thursday, his groomsmen came in. We hung out that night. We had fun. Friday, that same family member kind of was starting to bring things up again, and I was like, Mom, can you take care of this for me?
Yeah, you have to delegate some of that.
So my mom took care of that family member. Yeah, so then all the pressure was off me, and I was able to enjoy myself, our bridal luncheon, and then we had our rehearsal.
And dinner.
And you did a lot of events at the adult. The rehearsal dinner was at the Adolphus, and people did stay there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you had the luxury. That's an expensive hotel. You have the luxury of being able to do that, and that's awesome. And your guests that could come in and stay there. Mm-hmm. But it is undeniable that it makes the whole weekend a lot easier logistically when it's mostly all at one central place.
Yeah. Right. And then because we were having so many out-of-town people come in that it made more sense to be at a hotel.
Well, and the nice thing, too, was that, you know, I think we ended up having 40-some rooms blocked off. So even the people that didn't end up getting a room there, there's like 6 hotels within like a block radius.
Yes. Yeah.
So we actually had a few people staying across the street. But even still, you know, you don't have to worry about how am I getting across town or whatever. You just can kind of, you know, wander back to your hotel after you've had a couple of drinks and not worry about transportation or anything like that.
And I find that with nice, but well laid out hotels like the Adolphus, that people kind of congregate. You're in the bar, or you see people during breakfast, or you see them in that gorgeous lobby, and it becomes like, hey, again, you know, like without it being planned.
Right. Yeah. And that's what happened after the rehearsal dinner. We had this amazing suite with a balcony, so we're like, come up to our room. And we had a big room party that night. And I invited one of my friends to stay over because we had 2 bedrooms with king-size beds.
See, that would stress other people out. The idea of, like, having people in my area when I need to get to bed and get my beauty sleep. And we want, like, you guys were just like, come on.
I wanted it to be a party the whole weekend. Yeah. So
So that was a part of your
grand
plan.
I mean, that's where we went. After the wedding, too, itself was over. We were there, until like 3 in the morning.
I know, every
night. At the suite.
Yeah. Cool. So that was a nice thing to be able to have and have everybody congregate.
And that kind of set the tone for the next day when, like, old friends had already gotten to see each other and then everyone's, ready to go.
And I was able to wake up with my friend and kind of just chat with my friend and catch up a little bit. And then I had another friend, she was coming over because she lives in town. She's like, you want some Starbucks coffee? And I was like, yes, I would. So, you know, she brought me some coffee.
You were surrounded by...
Oh, great friends.
There was no, like, negative energy or, like, toxic.
No.
We had to invite this person.
No.
Really,
and I think
these were your people.
That's, you know, sort of the point too is that, like, you know, a lot of what the event ends up being is you're throwing a party for all of your friends. And if you know that you've invited people that are really just there to celebrate with you, then you don't have to worry about what is this person going to think, what is that person going to think. And then if you do have those people, maybe you shouldn't invite them.
That's
because
very good advice.
They're coming to a free party.
Right.
And if they're going to be like, I can't believe they did this or that, then, you know, don't come.
Yeah. Which is maybe what you were thinking with that family member giving you some trouble. I mean, it's just like, don't be there then.
Yeah.
So surrounding yourself with, like, everybody that was in your room when you were getting ready for both of you, you wanted them to be there.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't any awkwardness.
All of my literally oldest friends in the world and new friends and, It was everyone was great.
And then, I mean, I also asked for advice, you know, throughout the whole planning process to my coworkers. And then they would always be like, Ashley, no one's going to remember. So do whatever you want because really no one's going to remember.
Right.
And I was like,
that is liberating.
Yeah. I was like, you know, you're right. No one's going to remember. Like Blake said, no one's going to remember the table runners except for me.
Right.
So it's more pressure on me.
And you have a photo album and that's the whole, like...
Right. So that also was comforting, and surrounding yourself with people who are very supportive and support our wedding and us coming together. It was
The schedule, because it sounds like you had like consulted friends about like scheduling stuff that week and the day. Do you think the schedule for your day of, like your day kind of started a little bit early. Did that work? Like it was okay?
I think it worked better because most of the people who were early were staying in the hotel.
Okay.
Like Blake's younger sister, she was like, I have to wake up and be where at what time? Right. She goes, oh, but I'm in the hotel. I literally just have to roll out of bed and be there. And I'm like, yeah, right. It's not that big of a deal. So.
And you got to go to your game, mm-hmm. which was off premise. They went to another bar and then everybody got back in time mm-hmm. and that all worked out.
And the schedule ended up, we really only ended up being about, 15 minutes behind, mostly just because of the tuxedo issue. Right.
But then we ended up somehow making up time when we took our pictures.
That's right. So
did anything about the day surprise you? Like, thinking back on it now, was there any, like, moment that surprised you or thing?
Nothing really. I know in retrospect, there were a few things like, oh, yeah, that wasn't great. Like, you know, the not being able to hear the piano player.
Oh, yeah, that was sad. I tried to give her a review, but everyone I asked couldn't hear her.
The other angry wedding across the hall. But in the moment of... And that's sort of the things that you want to remember, not the 2020 hindsight kind of stuff. In the moment of, I can't think of anything that day that I didn't absolutely love.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing that I would have complained about on the day of. I was just so happy. And, I was so nervous at the whole ceremony part that, I mean, when we were at the reception.
It's kind of a relief.
Yeah. You could just party and have fun.
Well, and I was most nervous about the dance, just because I am not a trained dancer, and doing this was the first time I'd ever done choreography.
In the moment of,
so once
of
we got through that, I was like, okay, we're good.
They did a choreographed first dance that was really awesome, but then you also choreographed
something.
I was
just so happy.
Yeah, I mean, felt less. Well, yeah. So it that was sort of the downhill point for me. But other than that, I remember we were talking about it
during
our little short honeymoon afterwards. Thinking, like, I kind of want to go back and do it again.
We kept saying, man, let's
do it
again.
So fun.
Yeah.
What was the best part of the day? Like, if you could cut out 5 minutes that were, like, that was my favorite or that was my favorite.
I really, really liked the entrance. Because what we were playing, was it 24 Karat Magic?
Yeah, because, so we had our bridal party come out to Thunderstruck.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one of the a worker at the Adolphus was laughing. He was like, oh, this is what AC/DC Thunderstruck. And he was laughing at that.
And then I think our DJ did a phenomenal job of hyping everybody up. So when they opened the doors.
Without being.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, too cheesy. Really.
Yeah.
So when they opened the doors and the music was playing, it was the right energy. And it was just, it was like a big kind of. You know, I don't know. It just kind of hit lots of happiness in the room.
Well, and also, we had a little private room to ourselves.
We got to eat some of our appetizers.
Yes. We were kind of worried that we were going to miss out on the appetizers.
You would have. Yeah. I mean, or gotten some really quickly.
Yeah.
And that I think that is a great thing to do if you can add that to your timeline. You probably only had 10 minutes in that room. But it was enough time to change your shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe bustle, veil.
Eat.
Throw some deodorant on. Whatever you had to do.
Practice our lift in the dance.
Yes.
And in the dress and just kind of debrief a little bit. Just take some breaths and be
we're married.
We did it.
Together. Just the two of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you say you got enough FaceTime with each other on the wedding day?
We probably spent...
I don't think so.
during the ceremony?
Well, no. I mean, at the...
The whole day, if you could have carved out more time together.
We had the reveal, which was nice. And
the only thing that I think we should have did a little better was at the reception, maybe do a round together.
Yeah.
We kind of did our own separate things with our own separate people.
To mingle with
people. Yeah, going as a couple and saying hi to everybody. I feel like I said hi to all of my friends and she said hi to all of hers. And we as a team didn't
Yeah.
We didn't have a receiving line or anything like that.
Which I'm okay with not having a receiving line, but we didn't together go around and say hi. And I think maybe some people would have liked that, my family that
you
haven't met.
I remember thinking I hope I said hello to at least all of my people, because I sort of got swept up in the fun and was just partying.
Yeah, so, and that's one thing that I really remember. I was literally, like, bouncing around everywhere I was going, just dancing and saying hi, and then coming back to the dance floor.
Like, it's called open dancing in the timeline, which is planner speak for, like, nothing's going to happen during this hour. It's just loose dancing. You have to have a great DJ or band, and you keep it going. Did that part feel like it went by really fast? Because
yeah, it did. And I think it was probably because it was just in our contract. We had a set time that the night ended, that the bar closed. And I don't think we wanted to, you know, keep adding on charges to extend the night. Because I remember walking out after our, like, big send-off, and the other wedding was definitely still going strong. So that was a bummer, but it was at 12:30.
Yeah.
And then, but it helped that I knew that pretty much all of our friends were coming up to our suite anyway. So it wasn't like the party was over.
Yes.
But I feel like dancing is probably one of the, for me at least, the funnest parts of weddings. And so, yeah, it would have been nice if that would have gone longer. But we were also sort of constrained by the fact that Our ceremony didn't start until 7, just because of what the church told us we could or could not do for wedding times.
And I wanted a seated plated dinner.
Right. I know that in the timeline it did.
So that cut out open dancing time, which was a bummer. But, you know, I still got to finish up with shout and, you know, put it all out on the dance floor.
And I think it is better to end the night with a packed dance floor than to have an extra hour with, like, a slow trickle of guests.
Yeah.
So we did, and first I wanted to note, you said one of your favorite moments was the announcement in, which I kind of, I don't forget about that. I think about toasts and things like that when I think, oh, these important moments for my couples. But how awesome is it to enter a room to a theme song?
Like, it that was a lot
you
of
should
fun.
Always do that in life.
Yes.
And how few opportunities do we get to, like, open those doors and be like, it's me, bitches. Yeah. And then the music started, and it's like a movie. It's one of the parts of a wedding that feels cinematic.
That's actually a good way to describe it. It did sort of feel like, a little cinematic. And, you know, I sort of sometimes let my imagination, run away. And so that was sort of one of those, like,
yeah, like, you're the reason for the party. Yeah. It's us. We are the reason. Stand up, you pedestrians. Yeah. Like, we have arrived.
Yeah.
I think I need to encourage. I didn't do that for my own wedding, and now I wish I had. Thinking of, like, that's not something that cost extra money. That's not something that you had to put a lot of thought into.
I mean, it seems a little cheesy, but
it just
really
was
fun.
It was fun.
And and your whole group, and then
it's
the music
not like,
started,
and
I
it's
mean,
like
they walked
movie.
In the doors
it's
and they
the
sort
of
danced
the
to the head table.
It did
there was
sort
no,
of feel like,
you know,
yeah,
some people do, you know,
and,
I've seen individual songs for each couple that walks in, or they introduce the entire party, first and last names, kids, parents, grandparents, you know, it can be something that is more formal and stressful. Well, this was like, hey, wedding party, just line up and the DJ's going to announce you and just have some fun.
Well, and we were trying to streamline the process anyways because we knew that our dancing time was at a premium. So I remember even talking to you saying, hey, if you see things that could be shortened, like, you know, time to eat,
and
people
out.
And so whatever areas we can make it go as quickly as possible so we can have more time to dance, that's sort of kind of what we were trying to do with that.
And if we got into any trap on the timeline, it did just have to do with the kitchen. And I don't think anything could have been different, but it was like, I didn't want to start toast until everyone at least had their plates in front of them, let alone eating, but just like, so there weren't servers, because there's 12 servers for every... Yeah. This is a nice hotel, and the dinner plan is like they put the food down around the tables at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit like, I want to do the toast, but I can't because these servers are lined up right next to me and they're going to come out.
Yeah.
So.
Now that you mentioned that, that was probably the only thing during the day where I saw that happening and was like, that's cool, but it is taking a little bit too long.
Is there anything we can do to just fast
I remember
forward?
Talking to people and they didn't, nobody really felt like,
it took too long, and everyone kind of enjoyed that. I guess everyone at the table got served at the same time. They thought that was neat.
So it's a plus and minus thing. You knew, like, if we could cut these 10 minutes, we could do toast and cake and dancing.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, it was like, oh, look at that. Yeah. We all got our food at the exact same time.
I think that's when the photo booth really paid for itself, because I remember seeing that the people who were getting served last, like table 15 and 16, they were up doing the photo booth. So it wasn't like they were just sitting there like waiting for their food. They had stuff to do. So if anything, that's when the photo booth is the best to kind of keep the people who are having
wait,
keep them happy and doing something.
Yeah, and your photo booth was really fun, and it was utilized almost the entire time.
It was. Yeah.
We didn't even use it until literally everyone was gone.
I forgot she was packing up. And I was like, oh my gosh, we need to take a picture.
So wrapping it up, if you could, in a nutshell, and I think you've probably touched on all of it, but if you could give advice to couples on how to genuinely, like, enjoy their day, what would you say?
I'd say just remember what the day is about. It's about getting married and having a party with your favorite people in the world. And, you know, the goal is to savor every moment and don't waste any of those moments stressing about little things and little details, because in the long run the little details don't matter, and you're gonna wish that if you spent part of your day unhappy that you could get that time back. And while I wish I could relive it, I don't think I would change anything. And I think keeping that in perspective is what helped the day be so enjoyable.
Yeah, I would say surround yourself with, you know, people that you really like, because like all my bridesmaids were like, you know, we'll do anything for you. We'll fight someone. We'll kick someone out for you. You just tell us if you don't like something, we'll go and handle it. And so it's just having that kind of support, and, you know, people who really love you they'll make your day.
Yeah. And we get a lot of questions, Michelle and I, about like, I don't really want to invite this person, but I feel like I should, and with the guest list and the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we give everyone advice that emails us, but a lot, and the advice is always like, do whatever you feel is right. Yeah. But we think, don't invite anybody that is going to bring you down.
It's your day.
No negative Nancys.
Yeah. Well, it's your day. And at the end of the day, it's your party. Invite who you want. And don't feel obligated to invite anybody, because if they're, you know, and if they're really going to be that upset that you didn't invite them, then maybe they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
They could have been upset about something
else. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I made that a point, like, because she has a big family. I mean, a lot of, you know, cousins, extended family. And we were like, do we need to invite this person, or is this person going to be upset? And I was like, just invite the people who we want to be there.
Right.
You know, and
let's not
and
overthink it.
Yeah, and I think that was nice. And if people are upset, then they're upset. You know, sorry that our wedding was going to make or break your year.
But it made yours.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you could do it all over again, you would, but you probably wouldn't change much. That's the best.
Yeah. So.
Well, very good. I'm going to show some of Ashley and Blake's pictures, whatever we can decide. And they're on my website in the gallery coming up soon. But I wanna show the ones where you look really super duper smiley and silly and happy and joyful, because that really was my experience of working with you. And I wish all my couples were like that. And so I wanted to talk to you guys specifically so that our listeners could hear from people who like got to do their day that way. And here's how and why that happened. 'Cause that's what we wish for all of our clients. So don't waste any time being pissed off about small things or big things. Like you might be dealing with some big stuff, like estranged parents, you know, or like some family drama. That is, it's not minor, it's not little, but it's yours. Just don't let it creep into the actual experience of the day. Like put it on the side and deal with it afterwards.
Woosah.
What is that?
Woosah. It's just calm down word.
Oh.
Woosah.
Like, kind of like, what is it? Anger management?
Yeah. Yeah, it is from anger management. Yeah. Oh, you rub the ear, rub the ears and say woosah.
There's like a tapping to do. Okay, excellent. Well, try that too. And thank you for letting me come over here and talk to you about it.
Thank you for having us on.